Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
To support Israel's security just last week, and this has been going on for 58 years, I recognized fully Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. And I'll tell you what, I don't know about the United States. I think we're doing well, but I can run for the Prime Minister of Israel. That's what they tell me. I think I'm at 98% in Israel. You better be careful. I'll leave here and I'll go run in Israel.
April 9th, 2019. Thank you for joining me yet again. Today's show is going to be focused largely on Iran, specifically as it relates to Israel, as it relates to U.S. foreign policy, as it relates to Trump's recent declaration about the Revolutionary Guard, and specifically about some topics that are being carried out in Gaza, but that's largely going to be the focus today. I'll be discussing, like I said, the Revolutionary Guard declaration and its real-world effects right now, and also Netanyahu's recent tweets that basically say, yeah, I told Trump to do that, yet again showing us another example of Israel speaking up and the United States oligarchy dutifully responding. We have documented evidence that shows that right now, U.S.-supported terrorist factions are actually working from Pakistan, and even within Iran itself, getting direction from the U.S. oligarchy with the very goal of destabilizing Iran, with the hopes of then using that terrorist presence and the chaos it created to eventually justify some sort of action against Iran, of course, wildly hypocritically stemming from the reality that they're claiming that Iran is the sponsor of terrorism while they're literally sponsoring terrorism within Iran. Can't make that up. And of course, it's being revealed that Israel used some sort of lethal gas against unarmed protesters in Gaza, which shouldn't be very shocking with all the information that we have coming out, specifically from the United Nations, about war crimes being committed by Israel. But to begin today, as I'm sure some are curious, and it does directly relate to the focus of today's show, and that is a quick overview on the Israeli election that technically is still ongoing. But for those that have been paying attention thus far, officially, from the exit polls, three of them, it looks that Benny Gantz has won the election in Israel. This according to initial exit polls. But there's more to this story when you really dive into it. But ultimately, everybody has been kind of leaning in this direction. Gantz himself put out his tweet. It's translated. You can see the translation there. But if you can't, I'll read it. It says, "We won. The people in Israel said their word. Thanks to the thousands of activists and over a million pointers." That might be a mistranslation. "In these elections, there is a clear winner and a clear loser. Bibi promised, being Netanyahu, promised 40 mandates and lost big. The president sees the image and the government train must be imposed on the winner. There is no other option." I feel like there's a little bit of a translation issue there. But clearly he's announcing that he won. And Netanyahu also responded and tweeted out himself. People are saying that Netanyahu is reluctant to essentially admit defeat here. And his tweet basically says the same, essentially that the right bloc and the Lukid won a definite victory, not saying that he lost. He says, "I thank the citizens of Israel for the trust, and I'll start by assembling a right government with our natural partners tonight." Which is interesting. That doesn't sound like a conceit, right? And the interesting part in all of this, as the article points out, that despite the fact that three major exit polls have shown that Gantz is the victor in today's election, apparently this does not necessarily mean that this will remain the case throughout the process tonight, which I find very interesting. But we know how this works in the United States with our polling data. But perhaps the most interesting aspect of the initial result is that when it comes to the possibility of forming a government, Netanyahu may actually still come out on top, which is very interesting to me, even if he officially does not win the position. Now, this, depending on which parties fall below the threshold, will impact how difficult it is for Gantz or Netanyahu to form a ruling coalition, essentially. Now, another option is the possibility of a unity government, which would involve Lukid and Blue and White joining forces as the two biggest parties to run the country together. Now, the likelihood of this is as yet unclear, with sources from within the Lukid camp saying that they will not work together with Gantz. But a lot of this is up in the air. But at the end of the day, the data is showing right now that Gantz is the winner. Netanyahu lost. But even within that, it doesn't mean that that's the end of the day for Netanyahu. But either way, the real point in all of this is it is still possible that Netanyahu could win still possible, doesn't seem likely, or at the very least, maintain a controlled position or a controlling position in the government if he successfully forms a ruling coalition. And most importantly, and it's my opinion, this is the most important part, that regardless of who officially wins or who officially has control or has a ruling coalition, all the issues, in my opinion, will still remain. The overwhelming influence Israel has over U.S. policy will still remain. The violations of international law will still remain. In particular, in regard to human rights violations and crimes against humanity in Gaza. As we've seen, this election was basically a contest to see who could be more hostile towards Palestinians. So at the end of the day, regardless, I think we're going to see the same issue. But the question, as it should apply to all the topics today, as some of them specifically relate to Netanyahu, is whether or not this will change what's happening. Will this change the influence on U.S. policy? Is the only reason they had so much influence because of the connection between Netanyahu and Trump? I don't think so. But we'll clearly see how this plays out as this shift in government and how it will affect the way Trump's administration responds to Israel. We'll have to wait and see. But to make it obvious, at least so far, for the first story of the day, how much influence Israel has had over policy, specifically Trump and his administration being the most pro-Israel president in history. You can hear himself saying, I should run for prime minister in Israel. I'm more popular there than I am in the United States. Gee, I wonder why that is. Possibly because everything your government has been doing is in the benefit of a foreign country, and it's not Russia. This from Antimedia. Netanyahu says Trump named Iran's Revolutionary Guard a terror group at his request. So we know, as we've seen all these times in the past, that Netanyahu reached out and said, hey, make this happen for me, and Trump just did it. Now, of course, people will argue it's not as simple as that. I'm sure Trump has his agenda too, but as we've seen the line, the process of this, we've seen it happen again and again and again, even with members of Congress, where they literally just bend over and do what they're told because they're being funded by groups like AIPAC. But we're not allowed to say that today. But here's Netanyahu himself saying that he told Trump to do this and he responded. So again, if this was now Gantz in power and this happened later, would it have the same effect? That's a good question we should be asking ourselves. Now, a number of analysts were, of course, quick to point out how Trump declaring the Iran's Revolutionary Guard a terrorist organization sets the stage for further unnecessary tit-for-tat escalation, inevitably making things messier for U.S. forces in the Middle East and significantly increasing the charges of direct war. Of course, we can all see how much this is beneficial for Americans. Obviously, I'm being facetious. Everything this does makes things more problematic, more dangerous, more destructive for U.S. foreign policy, but they did it anyway. And of course, this move in every possible way benefits Israel. Can you show me one example of how this move is beneficial other than this broad, overarching, ridiculous concept that because Iran's the bad guy and the United States is the policeman of the world, but we're not the policeman of the world, we're going to go out and do this. There's no logical justification for doing this. But there's no evidence to support their claims. Now, of course, knowing that this move in no way benefited Americans or progressed their interests, it should not be surprising for those that have been watching this show to find out that soon after the White House's designation of the Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist organization, that possibly former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu put out a tweet essentially bragging that this only even happened because he told Trump to do it. And that he did what he was told. And it's not the first time we've made this very obvious example. Here's his tweet again, translated. If you can't see it on your screen, I'll read it. But this is a tweet on Monday, yesterday. Netanyahu thanked President Trump for declaring Iran's Revolutionary Guard a terrorist organization, saying that he had personally requested the move of Trump. Not surprised. Now, Netanyahu said that the move would keep the world safe from Iran. Because, you know, of all the countries they've invaded and overthrown and bombed civilians. Oh, wait, that's the U.S. and Israel and Saudi Arabia. Iran hasn't invaded a country since the 1700s. But yeah, dangerous Iran. Keep the world safe from Iran. And he says it would also serve the interests of Israel. That we can see very clearly. Saying he was glad Trump ascended to another one of my important requests, he says. So basically that he did what he asked of him again. Quote, another one of my important requests, and Trump did it, even though it actually has negative consequences for U.S. policy. Literally the opposite of America first. He goes on in his tweet, as you can see, quote, it says, "Thank you, my dear friend, the President of the United States, Donald Trump, for having decided to designate Iran's Revolutionary Guards as a terrorist organization." He wrote in Hebrew, on, as you can see on the tweet, and this was Monday morning. He said, quote, "Thank you for responding to another of my important requests, which serves the interest of our countries and countries of the region." Now, likely the statement was not made in English, clearly in order to avoid making Trump look weak in front of U.S. political leaders and the American public themselves, while at the same time bolstering, of course, in Hebrew to Israel's domestic audience, that Netanyahu's ability to immediately make Washington bend to Israel's interests, the very thing that's apparently anti-Semitic to even suggest here in this country, that they're cheering in Israel, which is exactly why he's got a 98% rating in Israel, because he's doing things for the Israeli government. Now, even though Trump has obviously thrown his full weight behind Israel, as we've seen routine, multiple examples of, and specifically a Netanyahu victory, which he might have lost here, it doesn't bode well for the America Firsters, having the Israeli leader essentially bragging that Washington policy can literally be directed from Jerusalem. An interceptor, the Intercept, the outlet, reported that Joe Dyke and somebody from the French press agency, the correspondent from that outlet, pointed out that Netanyahu omitted the claim that Trump's move was made at his request when it was tweeted out in English. So he tweets out in Hebrew to all the people in Israel, "Look at how much I can control the U.S. government. Trump did what I said." And then, of course, tweets out in English something entirely different, or rather the exact same thing, but omitting the fact that he did it at his request. Why would he do that? Why would Netanyahu choose to give two different things, one in Hebrew, one in English, and of course, omitting the fact that he's the one that got Trump to do it? Really think about that. The Intercept goes on to say, "That left the prime minister open to the charge often leveled at Palestinian leaders by Israelis, that they placate the international community in English and then say something quite different for domestic consumption in their native tongue." The point is that they know that it makes Netanyahu look good, particularly for this election, if he can control Trump. And of course, Trump will be upset if he shows the American populace that he's controlling Trump. Very obvious. And it's well known that Netanyahu had personally lobbied for weeks and months for this decision, specifically in regard to Iran and the Revolutionary Guard being deemed terrorists. Netanyahu personally lobbied for weeks and months, lobbying being the very thing we point out. And of course, because of his lobbying, literally legalized bribery, that's what it is, paying politicians to pass the bills they want. Now we see it happen. God forbid you point that out. You know, Omar says AIPAC and all about the Benjamins and everybody's anti-Semitic. And we can literally see Netanyahu lobbying like crazy, tweeting out to Trump, and then it happens for him. Very clear. And on Monday, of course, appeared to be touting both as that it was his decision, and of course, on the eve of the election, knowing that this was going to potentially benefit his election chances. Clearly, it doesn't seem to have worked for him. But we can clearly see that he's using his control to benefit himself. Now, as one Twitter person put out, and I thought this was so well done. This was such a well done tweet. This is basically what I was trying to say the other day and didn't do it as well. This person says, "You can be pro-Iran or anti-Iran, anti-imperialist or imperialist, but designating a state institution as a foreign terrorist organization is a gross misuse of the English language and of basic political science concepts. U.S. has ensured terrorism means everything and nothing." You guys literally just heard me rant about but yesterday and the day before about how the U.S. is doing exactly this. They've ensured that terrorism means everything and nothing. It's a useless term because they've applied it to places that it does not belong and forced it down our throats. And of course, the real point, you can see the stars, institution versus organization. They are literally abusing the ignorance of the average person. This is, like she says, a gross misuse of the English language and basic political science concepts. But they don't think the average person is aware enough to even understand that. But we can see it, and hopefully you can spread that information to other people, that this is entirely inappropriate. Now, Netanyahu's emphasis that this is all his idea, and Trump is giving him everything he wants, essentially, which I think is pretty obvious, is clearly being done with an eye toward the election today. That was why these things were happening. he's attempting to convince voters that he's able to basically get what he wants from Donald Trump. Now, this tweet was, again, only made in Hebrew, intended to avoid people like Trump and his followers to recognize that he's weak in regard to Israel. Now, ultimately, the real-world effects of Israel's outspoken desire to foment war with Iran are already coming to fruition. And this directly relates to U.S. foreign policy and Americans. And these effects are being seen. And this is coming from Zero Hedge. And this is what people are warning about. This is what this is going to lead to. And people also suggest, as I said yesterday, that this is intentional. This is the desire to lead us in this direction. From Zero Hedge, Iran Revolutionary Guard commander warns U.S. carrier, stay away from our speedboats. As this clearly begins to develop into something that cannot be controlled. As everyone's deeming everybody else a terrorist, which in their eyes, respectively, means they can just forego normal laws. The U.S. clearly points that out. They can do that with their own American citizens. You're a terrorist, we'll send you to some prison in the middle of nowhere and just forego your rights. Now, this is being applied to real-time interactions between major powers. And this should be alarming. And as the article says, it begins. Unprecedented tit-for-tat formal terror designations exchanged between Washington and Iran could soon enter a hot war on the ground, which again, many people think is the point. It says just mere hours after President Trump formally designated Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps as a terrorist organization on Monday, Iran's foreign ministry responded in kind and did the very same thing, placing Central Command on its terrorist list, akin to ISIS. Now, this means each side has given its armed forces authorization to target the other as a part of their war on terror operations. This loose, ambiguous concept that they can apply wherever they want, and while doing so, just sidestep any rules and regulations that apply. Now, already on Tuesday, the IRGC commander has put the U.S. Navy in the Persian Gulf on notice. This is today. Warning it not to come anywhere near the Revolutionary Guard speedboats. Now, specifically, according to Iran's ISNA news agency, Tehran has warned that America's aircraft carrier, currently deployed in the Gulf, the USS John C. Stennis, should not come anywhere near their boats, which I'm sure they're going to challenge, as they usually do, for no real discernible purpose other than to pound their chest and say we can do what we want. Now, over the past years, there's been a number of intercept incidents in the Persian Gulf carried out by each side. None of them really escalated to the point of serious exchange of fire. We recently saw the event where some Americans were taken hostage. Some of them crying on film, and there was this whole thing, and it was a really weird scenario. People have their opinions on what actually went down there, but nothing really went to the point we're at now. But if that had happened now, with where things are today, with them being designated terrorists, I think we can see how this could have gotten out of hand. Now, today, with this new designation, everything has changed. As Moon of Alabama pointed out in a recent article, the designation for the Revolutionary Guard and its counter-designation of the U.S. military will have some tricky legal consequences. He asked very logical questions. Will sailors of a U.S. Navy ship that unintentionally enter Iranian waters, and I would say even intentionally, in the Persian Gulf and get caught, will they be held as terrorists? Probably. And then what does that mean for the release and the exchange and the and discussion, the dialogue therein? Clearly, the U.S. has shown that they don't, they're the classic idea that you're a terrorist. We don't work with you anymore. Maduro's a dictator. We don't even talk to him. He doesn't exist. We've seen how this plays out. He asked, will former conscripts of the Revolutionary Guard who, you know, want to travel the states, will they even receive a visa? Probably not. I mean, they already just revoked visas from International Criminal Court representatives, because they dare to try to investigate the United States. He asks, should the U.S. attack the Revolutionary Guard forces abroad? Iran will likely respond by asking its foreign proxy forces to attack U.S. forces abroad, very clearly endangering American lives. Should the U.S. attack the Revolutionary Guard forces within Iran's borders, then all bets are off. There are plenty of U.S. bases and installations in the Middle East that can be reached by Iranian missiles. We can see where this will go. All because they decided to arbitrarily declare them terrorists with no information, no facts to back it up, because Netanyahu asked for it. And this directly puts Americans in danger and makes our situation, our policy in general, much more dangerous. And again, does not put forward any American interest whatsoever. So ask him why, or ask why he did it to begin with. And I think that should be obvious to those that are paying attention. Now, as I made clear yesterday, this whole move with declaring the Revolutionary Guard a terrorist organization is about making Iran the bad guy on paper, despite there, as I said, being no actual facts to back it up. And then using that false declaration under the authorization for use of military force to justify military action against Iran, should they decide to take that step, which has been in the works for decades. It's been in the works since the second time since 1979, when they took back their country from the U.S. puppet. But it all stems back to making Iran look like the villain. And of course, using the U.S.'s go-to accusation for its adversaries, you know, sponsoring terrorism, even though the U.S. is verifiably sponsoring and directly working with terrorists in numerous locations around the world. But we're not supposed to talk about that. We're supposed to ignore all contradictions in logic, lest we be deemed un-American. Or, you know, who knows, maybe anti-Semitic. Who knows what they're throwing out these days for just anything that goes against their agenda. Everything's anti-Semitic these days if it goes against the U.S.-Israeli agenda. But this next story takes this to another level and actually shows how the U.S. is the one, the very one funding terrorism, supporting terrorism in Iran in order to destabilize the country. And this again is, again, maybe I buried the lead today, and this is the this is a big story coming from Impress News. Jundallah, the U.S.-backed Salafi terrorist operating in Iran. Again, funding terrorism while they accuse other people who, I'm not going to speak to that. So I would argue probably every government has their proxy forces they're funding to carry out illegal operations. But while they're literally funding and supporting terrorism around the world, they're pointing the finger to other countries that there's no evidence to support. That could happen. It wouldn't surprise me at all to find out that these groups are also supporting terrorism. But the fact is, as I said yesterday, Americans need to come to terms with the fact that their government, or rather the oligarchy that's gone rogue, is literally funding terrorists around the world. As I continue to say, Tulsi Gabbard is running for president and will outright point that out. We funded terrorists in Syria, period. Time to make peace with that and try to move forward in a positive way. And in such a way would be to point out the crimes and lies of the people who have done this to our country. Funding terrorism in Iran while pointing the finger at Iran. You can't make this up, I swear. Now, since the 9/11 attacks, when Al-Qaeda became a household name, you know, as we can now point to the fact that they're working with Al-Qaeda in Yemen and Syria and even working with them back then on 9/11, but we won't get into that. When it became a household name, we have Takfiri groups, which are essentially Muslim groups who accuse other Muslims of abandoning their beliefs in a very simplified definition, have become increasingly widespread, these Takfiri groups, in the Middle East and Central Asia. Then these are the extremist elements we're talking about. Many Takfiri groups have found their haven in Pakistan, which they use as a home base rather, to launch a cross-border attacks on Afghanistan and Iran, And we've seen this. And again, this is think about this whole story, by the way, in regard to the Pakistan-India dynamic, as we're going to see clearly that the U.S. has very clear ties to Pakistan and this terrorist outlet. But Pakistan's government and security apparatus are known to support Takfiri groups across the region. At, of course, the behest of Washington, a fact that even former Pakistani president Pervez Musharraf, admitted to himself. Former president of Pakistan admitted that Washington is the one that is basically asking them to support terrorism. Now, Pakistan is home to multiple Saudi-funded so-called madrasas, or the terrorist recruitment centers, focused specifically on brainwashing young men into joining militant groups with similar ideologies such as the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, the Taliban who they're also making a deal with in Afghanistan, and the Al-Qaeda being the group they're currently working with as well. And many would argue that the idea of these madrasas, these groups, are using the guise of religion, the guise of the religious aspects in order to manipulate people who believe this stuff, even though they ultimately don't. Very similar to the idea of Zionism with Judaism, abusing, manipulating the religion in order to manipulate the people that believe in it, when in reality, the people at the top don't care at all about the religion. They're using it. It's similar to how Christianity has been used throughout history to carry out some of the worst atrocities around. Religious people abuse religion to abuse the people within it. Very similar to see here. It doesn't mean that some people don't believe it all around, But it's important to see that instead of broad sweeping a Muslim society as everyone does, or they do with anything. Broad sweep every society today with some kind of extremist ideology. That's just how it is. But for decades, since the days of the Soviet-Afghan War, where the U.S. literally funded the group that later became Al-Qaeda, Islamabad has used terrorism as a tool for its foreign policy towards its neighbors. But it is important to understand that Islamabad and Pakistan's security services are working for Washington's interests, because had they had their own interest at heart, as the article makes very clear, they wouldn't allow the Waziristan province to turn into a terrorist-controlled region in the country, literally endangering the lives of Pakistanis across their country. These Takfiri groups have committed heinous crimes against Pakistanis as well, such as the notorious Peshawar school shootings of 2014, where 132 schoolchildren were murdered. Yet this gets allowed at the behest of Washington. Now, since 2003, Iran has been plagued by these very same Takfiri terrorism groups that has penetrated through Iran's southeastern borders. Now, one of the more active groups in the region was the Jundallah terrorist group, made up of the predominantly Sunni Muslims, which Sunni being Saudi Arabian, or predominantly the Sunni, the extremist Sunni mentality comes from the Saudi mentality. Now, from their bases in Pakistan, over the course of 8 years, Jundallah conducted multiple terrorist attacks inside of Iran, operating outside of it at the behest of Washington. Now, investigation points towards external backing by the United States and Israel, as apparently Mossad agents posing as CIA officers met with and recruited members of Jundallah in cities such as London to carry out attacks against Iran. So just, again, we have Israeli intelligence officers posing as CIA to recruit terrorists to throw them at Iran. Think about that. Now, in late 2008, in an interview with the Saudi TV station, Abdul Malik Riji said that his group, and this is the leader of Jundallah leader, Abdul Malik Riji, said that his group had been, quote, given 2,000 men, as well as military and ideological training, indicating that external support to his group was indeed an ongoing process. In 2007, ABC News cited the U.S. and Pakistani intelligence sources as saying that American officials had been secretly advising and encouraging Jundallah militants, the terrorist groups, to carry out attacks against targets inside of Iran. This came from ABC News, citing U.S. officials saying, we're funding these terrorists in order to carry out attacks against Iran. I mean, ask yourself why you've never heard this before, because the mainstream media does not do what they say their job is, when in reality, their job is to omit things just like this, while selling you on the idea that Iran is the big bad guy. Now, the following year, in 2008, Seymour Hersh's New Yorker investigation revealed that the Bush administration had been funding covert operations inside Iran, designed to destabilize the country's leadership since 2005. And we're supposed to pretend that this has nothing, no bearing on what's going on today. Now, that same year, Pakistan's former army chief, General Mirza Aslam Baig, claimed to have firsthand knowledge that the U.S. was providing training facilities to Jundallah militants in Pakistan and southeastern Iran, specifically to sow unrest between the two neighboring countries. So literally funding and training terrorists in Pakistan and even within Iran itself to carry out illegal operations against countries that they want to overthrow. Now, the final piece of evidence was uncovered when Abdul Malik Riji himself was captured in 2010, the leader of the Abdallah movement. Now, in a televised interview with Iranian officials before his execution, Riji confessed that the Americans, quote, promised to help us, and they said that they would cooperate with us, free our prisoners, and would give us military equipment, bombs, machine guns, and they would give us a base. And Riji added that, quote, the Americans said Iran was going its own way, and they said our problem at the present is Iran, not Al-Qaeda and not the Taliban, but the main problem is Iran. We don't have a military plan against Iran. Attacking Iran is very difficult for us. This is the U.S. speaking, saying that we're not concerned about Al-Qaeda. We don't care about Taliban. Iran is our big focus. This was back in 2010. And understand that all of this is created for this reason, the lies they tell, the manipulations. Now, of course, Rigi's last confession could have been coerced or manipulated, but this is not one single data point. It's one on top of thousands that show us this is what's actually happening. With zero on the other side to demonstrate the actual state sponsor of terrorism accusations about Iran. None. And I still challenge anyone to send me something that shows you an example of how that's actually what's happening, because you won't find it. Other than U.S. officials saying, this is the truth, trust me. That doesn't fly. Especially since these same people lied to us about Iraq, about every single place they've ever been involved in. Many of them working right now to overthrow Venezuela. Using terrorist groups to overthrow a country. This cannot be okay. As they literally point at the other countries they're trying to overthrow and say, you're the one doing that. I mean, it's childish. Now, what we're seeing today is all about removing the difficulty that they spoke of. The attacking Iran is very difficult for us, the U.S. says. Rigi says that the U.S. allies he had said this, and that's why they sicked him on Iran. What we're seeing today is about removing that difficulty. And we're seeing the U.S. facilitate the removal of these difficulties in real time. Of course, at the request of the Israeli government, wherein Trump dutifully responds. And while all of this political sleight of hand plays out, Israel is showing us yet again the truth about who the real villains are here. And I argue, sadly, that this is what won't change, regardless of who gets elected today. This coming from Palestine 24 Post, it is Israel uses lethal gases against Gaza protesters, according to the health ministry. And this is a big deal because regardless of the truth of this one story, this has happened before. We've verifiably shown this. We've shown chemicals used. We've shown white phosphorus used. We've shown cluster munitions used. It's all on record today in the United Nations, all these violations. They just don't care in the U.S. just to, you know, put up smoke and screen and basically hide what they're really doing while the world sees it in hopes that somehow affects people's opinions. But now we're having reports of lethal gas being used. Recently, during all of this, again, showing you how brazen they are to do this while they're being called out for these kind of acts. You think they might just be like, well, maybe we should pump the brakes on murdering innocent people while they're paying attention to our murdering innocent people. But no, they say, you know what? Let's murder innocent people. That's what it's that simple. And it's pretty alarming. Now, on Monday, the Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza revealed that Israeli occupation forces had recently used what they call lethal gases against peaceful Palestinians during the Great March of Return protest along the eastern fence of the besieged Gaza Strip, after 6 more civilians died after the exposure from the gas, including 4 children. Again, wonder why that wasn't on the evening news. Now, spokesman of the ministry, Ashraf al-Kidra, said that the types of casualties prove that the Israeli occupation, quote, is intentionally shooting at Palestinian protesters to maim or to kill. Which, by the way, shouldn't be shocking, as the United Nations Human Rights Council has put out a report about this and adopted it. The world is interested in holding Israel accountable for its many, many, many crimes. And the only person defending them right now is basically the United States. Now, regarding the strange yellow and red gases that were recently used, he said, quote, the essence of these gases is still unknown, but it had strange repercussions on the wounded. Apparently on Friday, the Palestinian Red Crescent told Middle East Monitor, that cultures from these gases were taken to laboratories for testing, but they haven't got the results back. But the results they had were obvious on the people that were being affected by these gases that you can see here. Again, all this in the show notes for you to look at, images, information. As it says, dozens injured in Gaza demonstrations with Israeli fired live ammunition, which is another, add that, we're talking about poison gas killing people, but meanwhile, they're riddling people with live ammunition, which is not a secret. As the UN report made very, very clear, 187 out of some 200 people were unarmed protesters shot with live ammunition. That's from the UN report. Not possibly, not suggests, but they killed this many people that were unarmed, period. So while they're doing that, they're dropping poison gas as well. And it says an ambulance targeted with tear gas whilst evacuating the injured. So that's another thing. We're talking the same thing Saudis do. In Yemen. That while people are coming in to try to help the hurt people they just shot, they're then targeting the people trying to help them. Now, Israel also used this toxic red-colored gas against demonstrators, the tweet says. Now, Al-Qidra also revealed that the new gas canisters themselves are apparently lethal because they cause, quote, severe burns and distortions. pointing out that 6 protesters were killed by these canisters. Again, 4 children, as I just said. This is what's actually happening on the ground. Now, the ministry called for all the local, regional, and international rights groups and interested bodies to monitor and document Israeli crimes against the peaceful protesters, which is no longer a fact that can be denied. As coming from every direction today, we can see the world is beginning to stand up and say, you know what? You need to investigate what's going on here. You can no longer just shield your eyes to the atrocities taking place while you try to pretend to be the moral authority of the world. I mean, this goes beyond offensive. And the truth is, people are beginning to stand up and have the courage to say something about it. But what we really need is everyone, you watching right now, you out there listening to this show, to have the courage to take a stance, especially against those that know what they're talking about. Oh, they just know. Didn't you know all Palestinians are terrorists? Didn't you hear? Didn't you watch the mainstream media? And it's your job to try to plant those seeds. Don't force information on people, but put it out there. Give them the resources to look it up for themselves. And when they get all emotional and red-faced, you back away. You back away, but you plant the seed. You keep trying to put it out there. And the reality is that we are seeing a shift in the tide. And as you continue to do that, hopefully they will begin to see somebody that they think they respect that gives them an insight to that what you're saying is in fact the truth. Thank you for the super chat, Northern Lights. I appreciate it. But all of this stuff is so very important. All the stuff we're talking about. And as this election goes forward, whether it's Gantz or Netanyahu, clearly I don't think we're going to see much of a change. I really hope we do. I genuinely hope we see a fundamental shift in the way that the Zionist-controlled Israeli government operates. But I don't think that's going to happen because they're Zionist-controlled. We can hope. We can hope. But please get this information out there and spread it around, especially in regard to the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and what this means for U.S. policy. And understand that I clearly think, Whitney Webb just put out a great article about this yesterday as well, about using their already flimsy authorization for use of military force in order to carry out war against Iran now that they've deemed them terrorists. It's pretty alarming stuff, people. But I'll be following up as the days move forward, likely tomorrow. So be sure and tune in then as I have more information with what's going on. If you'd like to support this channel, you can do so numerous ways. There's a links in the show notes to our Patreon, to our PayPal, or you can get a Question Everything t-shirt. Also the links in the show notes. Or if you want to get anything else from the website, make sure you put in the Vagabond code, support this channel. But ultimately, we are people funded. We do this only because of you. Thank you, Muzzy Bear, for the super chat. I would not exist without you out there supporting this channel. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.